This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And this is the chef of the sous chef.
I was going to say, chef. Who are you anyway?
Who the heck am I? Yeah, I'm the sous chef of the garden, Franklin Proctor. Nice to have you back, Charlie. And hey, what the heck is going on with the weather?
Oh my goodness.
Huh?
It's I just got a panic phone call
from Shirley. She says, there's snow on the deck. I was responsible.
No, well, I know. It's like, who still has their snow tires on, I wonder?
Oh.
Hey, but you know what? This is absolutely perfect because it was just this time last year when we had a large snowstorm. And I was supposed to head up to Barrie after the radio show to attend an event that the Barrie Garden Club was putting on. But it didn't happen because the snow was coming down so heavy. I felt confident I could get to Barrie. I wasn't confident I could get out of Barrie. And I was a little hesitant to go. So here we are. Today, I'm heading up to Barrie again.
Okay. But no heavy-duty snow on the way,
yeah,
we hope.
Yeah,
let me get our phone numbers on here because I know there will be a batch of folks want to say hi and good morning and offer up questions or comments. That's okay, too, right? Mm-hmm. All righty. In Toronto, here is the number to call. 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra goes this way, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, let our operator, Sebastian, know. He will inform me, and just before you get on the air, hey, there you go, you get your garden wings.
And you never know when you might need garden wings.
Well, heavens to Betsy, yes.
All this flooding might need to just fly a bit.
Oh,
but
man, yeah.
But it's crazy because it's just funny how things come around. Like I said, I'm racing off to an event. It's actually the Barrie Garden Club's spring seminar. So it's an annual event.
All right.
And so what happened last year that I missed is happening this year again, which I'm not going to miss. And my topic today is great gardens with less water.
Oh, are you? Yeah, hello.
As we have, flooding and states of emergency all over southern Ontario. That's at 1:30 this afternoon at the Tangle Creek Golf Club, which is 4730 Side Road 25 in Thornton. So that's today. Now, Monday, April 29th, so this Monday, the Horticultural Societies of Parkdale and Toronto want to invite absolutely everyone to a great meeting that they've planned between 7 and 9 p.m. at the Bonar Parkdale Presbyterian Church, 250 Dunn Avenue, just south of Queen West in Toronto. The topic is Q, Saving the World's Plants with David Lehman. Doors open at 6:30. That's going to be a very, very good session, I think. And now this is get your calendar out, Saturday, May 11th. If you need or want plants, there are multi-plant sales going on Saturday, May the 11th. They're all over the place here. So far, I've got notice of three. This one is the Markham Garden and Hort Society, 9 a.m. to 12 at the Markham Village Community Center, out in the parking lot, 6041 Highway 7 East at Highway 48. Niagara on the Lake is also having their annual plant sale. And theirs is like an amazing one because typically it's the members. They dig up plants out of their gardens.
Yep.
Plus, if it's the older horse societies have, they're more established and have some budget, they'll actually go out and buy plants to bring into the sale. And of course, who's better placed other than the Niagara and the Lake people to, talk to their next door neighbor greenhouse grower to give them some good deals on cool plants. So that one, if you're in the area of Niagara on the Lake, Saturday, May 11th, it's at the Niagara on the Lake Arena in Virgil, 1567 Four Mile Creek, 9 until noon. And one more, the Parkdale and Toronto Hort Societies, they're hosting a plant sale. It's from 10 until 2 at the Roncesvalles United Church, which is 240 Roncesvalles Avenue in Toronto. This is an indoor event, which is a bit unusual. Most plant sales are out in parking lots. So rain or shine, this one's happening. It's free admission. It's wheelchair accessible. Amazing garden finds and plants of all kinds. Best prices in town. Focuses on natives, organics, pollinators, herbs and veggies, and hard to find plants. Many of these, of course, being grown by the members. And there's arts and crafts. There's even praying mantis eggs for sale.
Oh, really?
For you to hatch at home, which is great. That's so fun. Free advice on plants. There's soil, eco-friendly gardening talks, tree talks, all kinds of stuff. So you really can't go wrong. Saturday, May 11th. Lots going
circle
on.
Circle that on the calendar.
Don't make any other plans.
We will come circling right back in just a moment after we take a little commercial break here. And we'll be saying hi to Franny right here in Toronto in moments on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie, let's go to the phone lines and say hi right off the bat to Franny here in Toronto. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Yes. I have a rose climber that's over 10 feet, a lot of shoots, and it's like a tiny cluster of little roses.
Oh, nice. Okay, so now, what do you want to do? You want to shrink it down?
I want to shrink it down.
Is it growing on an arch or an
arbor
or anything?
No, it's just on the fence, and it's growing against the neighbors next door. 10 feet tall fence that they have on the deck.
Oh, okay. So that's good. I mean, because climbing roses need a structure to grow on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cling, right? They don't twine. They don't have little suckers. They need to be either trained.
No, it's a lot of shoots.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably never been pruned ever at all.
Not for quite a while.
Okay. It's a little hard to explain on the radio, but the best way to train a climbing rose, if possible, is to imagine you're looking at the rose, so it's growing up out of the ground, and what you want to do is you want to train those shoots, or canes is what they're really called, so it's with the long shoots.
Mm-hmm.
You want to train them so that as they are going, you know, from the ground up, they tend to go vertically. The canes will shoot straight up. You want to actually train them horizontally. So you want to actually tilt them down and tie them with some, you know, hemp or something that's, you know, breathable onto some kind of structure so that they actually grow what's called an espalier form, so that all those canes are trained out. You don't keep them all. You would only keep, you know, canes that would leave at least about 8 inches between each horizontal branch all the way up. You could go 10 feet if you have a ladder to do that.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that, by bending those canes down into that horizontal configuration, you will have flowers all along the entire cane, along that entire stem. Mm. If you allow it to stay vertical, you will have green leaves, and up at the very top, you'll have flowers. So maximize your flowers, that bending and training into that different shape will make it much prettier, much more floriferous, as we call it, if you can. If you can't, and you're just saying, no, it's all just a tangled mess and it hurts me even just to touch it, put on your leather clothing and get on your big gauntlets and get in there with some sharp tools on a dry day, not today, but when it's sunny, and cut out a lot of those canes when they're crossing over each other, when they're damaged, when they're dead, take them all out, bring the whole thing down. And if you don't want it 10 feet tall, you can bring it down to 3 feet tall. This is the time to do it. You can be pretty rough. You can prune hard your roses at this time of year. After you've done that hard pruning, making sure all your cuts are on a bit of a slant, so you're not, you know, leaving those cuts wide open to the rain. Some food, rose food of whatever kind around the base of the plant, and get ready to, you know, train it as it starts to grow, because it'll really start to shoot once the weather.
I'm just trying to imagine, Charlie, you're bending those canes, and then you've got, if I'm just thinking of using a nail, to, you know, tie them to with twine, and well, that would
perfect
stabilize
world.
That.
You'd have wires in a perfect world, like you have like literally wires horizontally. Okay. You're right, like stapled or whatever to the fence or to the brick wall, whatever you're going up on, and then you attach the canes to the wires,
right? Yes,
with some little pieces of twine,
right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I know it's fascinating. You can really have a lot of fun and have beautiful, beautiful roses if you've got the space to do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just becomes a case of bring it right down smaller.
How wide an area, Franny, is the rose bush on? Is it a?
It's right against the neighbor's deck.
Right.
They have a fence.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got several feet there?
Oh, quite a few.
Okay.
Well, there's your job.
Yeah.
Once the weather gets better.
and good luck with that too.
And I've started this by cutting a shoot and put it in the ground with a glass jar over on top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I start most of my roses.
Okay, good. Well, sometimes that works. You're obviously in a nice microclimate in warm Toronto.
Yeah.
Sometimes that works, sometimes not so much.
Well, keep in touch with Charlie and let us know how you come along with that, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, Franny. Yeah, good stuff.
I love climbing roses, but they are a bit of work, just in that training sense.
As we say goodbye to Franny, that opens a line here in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. I think maybe, we are bang up right against a break here. So let's do that and then come back to say hi to Mary from Markville. A little alliteration going on there. Here in the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, as promised, let's get to Markdale, and there is Mary. Good morning, Mary.
The last July 23rd, my hibiscus produced three little black seeds. Mm-hmm. I put them in the freezer till now. What should I do with them?
Hmm. Okay, which kind of hibiscus have you got? Like, wait, is it an outdoor, what we call Rose of Sharon?
Yeah, it was red. Mm-hmm. You can put it in or out, right?
All right, you keep it in the winter, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is actually a tropical hibiscus. Good question. I'm not sure that those seeds, they were in the refrigerator or the freezer?
The freezer part of the fridge, which keeps them frozen.
Okay, I'd have to look that up. The hibiscus that we're talking about with the red flowers that form the seeds is a tropical plant, and I'm not sure if freezing the seeds was the right thing to do because it's not a plant that typically survives in a climate that experiences frost. you're right with our outdoor plants, you know, oak trees, maple trees, they are outdoor and they expect frost and they need frost before the seeds will grow.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, they've been in the freezer since July 23rd? And this is April. And what do they look like right now?
Oh, just like little black apple seeds.
Same as when you put them in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. All right, let me follow up. I will report back.
Okay, fine. And I just one more little thing. The mother plant kind of shriveled. She didn't do well and died. So seeds still be okay, though?
Well, I'll find out. I will find out in whether the seeds are any good or you need to go out this spring and get yourself a new hibiscus and start again. Okay.
I really appreciate it. I love your program.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Okay.
Keep listening. I'll report back.
I heard kind of an inaudible whoops. I put them in the, oh dear.
Well, it is funny. Yeah. You know, there's a name for that. It's called stratification.
Oh.
When you use temperature to break the dormancy of a seed. Because seeds are dormant, right? They have that hard little coating. And so we have to often we do different things to say, wake up seed. Because seeds will just wait until conditions are right. And it's up to us to sometimes stratify or there's other, even dropping them into sulfuric acid for 10 minutes sometimes is what wakes them up. There's
really?
All kinds of crazy things we do to wake
up
seeds.
That's a little drastic.
It sounds extreme, but it does work.
Yeah. Well,
it's for certain seeds. Like
wake me up.
it's all species specific, right? It's all very detailed.
Might mention that we've got a couple of lines open right now for those of you saying, gee, I'd call, but I probably have to wait. No, you don't have to. You don't have to wait. The lines are open right now. 416-360-0740 here in Toronto and anywhere in the province. It's toll free 1-866-740-4740. And it's off to Dundas we go to say hi to Brenda. Good morning, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Miniature daffodils,
mm-hmm.
which are, I got them from the store in about March.
Right.
And when they were very pretty, there's about three bulbs in a little 4-inch pot.
Yep.
And it was very tall with a tiny flower on top.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of flowers, considering that there's only one.
Yeah, they're like little bunches, bulbs. Yeah.
So anyway, I cut the little tops off when they died, the little blooms.
Mm-hmm.
And now I need to know, can I plant them outside? If so, when?
Mm-hmm.
And in the meanwhile, they're in the house. Can I or... Shall I water them or leave them dry? What shall I do with them?
Okay, no, good questions, because a lot of us do end up with a pot of bulbs. So, yeah, absolutely, I save them whenever I can. Keep them in the house. Taking off the dead flowers was the right thing to do. Put them in a sunny spot and do water them when they're dry. The reason you're going to do that is because you want the green leaves to grow.
Yes.
As the green leaves grow, you're going to give them sunshine, give them some water. Be careful to not overwater, because as you point out, there's bulbs in the pot, and bulbs will rot if they sit in water. So it's watering, but it's, you know, ensuring that the water drains through and the bulbs aren't sitting in a saucer of water. And the leaves will grow, and you'll have green leaves. And it's because they've been in, you know, all this, the winter, basically, wait until we're frost free and then you can go outside with that pot of bulbs. And they'll probably still have green leaves at that point, and just allow them to be outside. They'll get a little bit of water on them, some sunshine. All by themselves, eventually those green leaves are going to start to get paler and paler and start to shrivel. And of course, at that point, you're not watering at all. The leaves will just shrivel up and disappear. It's about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks after they flowered that'll happen. And now you've just got a pot of dormant bulbs. So it's up to you. You can plant them outside at any point you want from that point forward up until basically October. Best place, of course, is somewhere where it will be sunny next spring, where they will come up in your garden, and a spot that's well drained, because again, you don't want them in a soggy location.
So meanwhile, while they're in the house, I just continue watering and treat them as a houseplant.
Exactly. Treat them as a houseplant.
Right.
And remember, when you plant them outside in the garden, you're going to bury them quite a bit deeper in your garden than they were in those pots or in the pot. So, because they're right on the surface in the pot, you're going to go down a couple inches.
So if the soil is still cold, does it matter?
No, but you'll find that you're not going to want to put them out yet. Like, wait till they're dormant to plant them out. And by that time, the soil's warmed up, because it's at least June or July by then.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much, Brenda.
Yeah, no, it's a good one, because daffodils are what we call our bulbs that naturalize. Mm-hmm. So Brenda's going to plant three little bulbs this spring, and next year she's going to get six flowers or six, sort of stems coming up. The next year there'll be 12, and the year after that there'll be 18. So wherever you plant daffodils, and they will just, the clumps will get bigger. It takes a while, but they're very pretty, very pretty.
We spent at least a couple of minutes talking about the terrible conditions as far as the flooding concerned up in the Bracebridge area, cottage country. And now, of course, in Ottawa, which is kind of strange, but we have
I hear of flooding in Ottawa often.
Boy, oh boy, it sure is happening. Yeah. I'm just hoping Christine, who is on the line from Ottawa right now, isn't in a flooded area. Hi, Christine. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi,
Charlie. Hi, Frank.
Hi. How are you doing up there?
Very well, thank you. Quite dry.
Oh, good. That's good.
Happy to report. Charlie,
yes.
I have a quick question. I have two geraniums, and how do I get them? I brought them inside from the balcony. How do I get them to flower again? Should I feed them?
Oh, so they're in pots right now in your house?
Yes.
And they're all green?
Yes.
Do you want to keep them in those pots and go back out onto the balcony, or did you want to...
No, Charlie, I'm on the eighth floor, so they have to either be in the balcony outside, or I brought them in into my living room right now.
Sure, yeah, and they've been in all winter, I assume.
Yes.
You're right, so time to start feeding with a flowering plant fertilizer, and even all of us can be feeding our house plants now. As of March, usually, it's a very good, because of the plants, we've all noticed that the plants know spring is in the air, even the indoor plants.
Yes.
My geraniums have started to grow like crazy, lots of green leaves. So I've actually took a bunch of cuttings. I took little, you know, 6-inch cuttings off of my geraniums just to make more.
Right.
And I'm rooting those up, and then I'll pot them into pots. And then you're right, to get the flowers fertilized.
But Charlie, how do I get mine to flower again?
Just lots of light and fertilizer.
Really?
Yep.
And Charlie, I've got a bottle that says 7 drops.
Oh, yeah. Schultz.
So should I use that?
Sure.
That,
7 drops in a liter of water.
That's it.
Yep. It works fine. A lot of people love it.
I love your program.
Thank you, Christine.
Frank, I thoroughly enjoy all the time you're on air.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you very much, Christine. I appreciate it. Gee, I feel like I owe you money now.
No, but it's funny. Christine said she's dry. She's on the eighth floor.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
She didn't tell us what's going on the first floor.
Yeah, no.
I don't mean to joke, but still.
Oh, hey, our hearts go out to people who are affected. This is just an awful situation. Anyway. Mm. We've got from Port Hope. Mm. Marie is on the line. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning.
Hi, Marie.
Good morning, Charlie. I have a hydrangea, a very large bush hydrangea. Mm-hmm. I've had it for quite a few years now. I just pruned it back last week, and I'm noticing some of the branches have black holes right through them, and there's some kind of a gummy fungus in there.
Yeah.
I've tried to cut the branch back as far as I could till I got rid of that, but there's several branches that are that way. Does this mean it looks like it might be under a fungus or whatever?
Well, yeah, so gummy is interesting. So these are black, like literally like oozing stuff coming out of the where you made your cuts.
Some of them are just gummy looking, but one that I cut actually oozed right out. It dripped out.
Doesn't sound good. Okay, tell me something. The hydrangea, is it got round flowers or conical flowers?
Conical.
Okay. All right, so you know what? Oozing is never good, actually.
No, I didn't
oozing
think
is
it was.
Often, it could be a sign of a fungus, as you point out, or it could be the sign of a bacterial infection. So, let me leave that with me, and I'm going to see what I can find out. Because it's unusual. We don't usually think of hydrangea.
This is the first year, because as they say, I've had it for quite a few years, and this is the first time that I pruned it back that I found this. I have already lost one hydrangea about a year or so back that I had for quite a while too. And it could have been that problem, but I never noticed it.
Yeah. I just don't think of them as being susceptible. Is there, did it flower and look good last fall?
It was. Probably not as many as there usually is.
Okay. And do you remember the leaves? Were they?
The leaves seem to be. Yeah, they all seem to be fine.
Okay.
And it's quite a large hydrangea. It's quite tall. So I cut it back quite a bit, but just to keep it a little bit smaller. But I've never noticed that in all the years I've been trimming it. I've never noticed those black.
Yeah, me neither. So I'm just interested. So I'll do a quick search on this, and hopefully I'll be able to report back before the show is over.
Okay, I will listen.
Yeah, because that's like I say, it's unusual. I've just not something I've run into at all. And I grow a lot of hydrangeas at my place. But first, I mean, just practically, you know, common sense says, clean your pruners between each cut with rubbing alcohol and water, or just straight rubbing alcohol, and remove, not on a wet day but on a dry day, any evidence of any of this oozing, not good looking material into a garbage bag off the property, and I'll see what else I can figure out. Thanks,
Marie.
Well,
I probably shouldn't have thrown that in with my garden waste.
Oh, well, if your garden waste is going to the end of the driveway, you're fine. Just don't keep it on the property.
Okay, so I should be doing my pruners, giving them a good clean off.
Yeah, good idea. Okay. Thanks, Marie. I'll do what I can to figure that out.
Okay. We have a reason for Franklin to reach to a bell.
Nice.
Here we go. First-time caller, Diane in Hamilton. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I listen every week. I think you're amazing.
Thank you.
One quick question, because I know you have a lot of people on the line. I happened to help a friend in a garden. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of helping with this garden, I ended up being in contact with black oak. Excruciating, itchy, went to the doctor. Yes, I ended up getting antibiotics and whatnot. Wow. It was severe. Wow. However, my doctor states that in certain humidities and whatnot, that if the black oak is in me, it can still come out from time to time. What is your views, and is that true?
Huh.
Wow.
Boy, I'm getting some tricky questions today, Frank.
Yeah.
But it was referred to as black oak.
It was exactly black oak. It wasn't poison ivy. It's in that ivy. It's bad anyhow. It's called black oak.
Huh. You know, like I say, I'm going to share an opinion when I've done a little research on that one. I'm not sure. Like it's, you know.
I've never heard of that before.
No, exactly. Like I'm trying to think, you know, obviously poison ivy is well known. There's a
and
few
poison
things.
Poison oak?
Yeah. I wonder if that's what it is. But it was referred to as black oak, right?
Isn't that something?
All right. Poison
oak. Black oak, it was that. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. So, Diane, keep listening. We're going to have some extended commercial breaks. Or Frank's going to start doing some sing-alongs with everybody. Well, I do some research before this show is over, because we obviously have to get back to some good answers here.
I thought, like, no, I'm not the only one out there that has, I'm sure that he said to me in certain temperatures, like if I'm out in the heat and I'm really sweating, he says, it's in you virally.
Wow.
And it can still come out from time to time.
And did he have recommendations on how to avoid that, or just like avoid certain high humidity or hot or
I
sweating?
I don't know. Like, that's why I'm kind of nervous.
I know, exactly.
You traveled, right? And you went to, say, Jamaica with humidity and like, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I thought you're the expert and you know who to ask or who to see. And I just to see if there's anyone else out there that has.
Yeah,
ever
had. That's
well,
a good
Dr.
point.
Dr. Dubbin.
Yes. Well, and anyone who is listening that might have some thoughts on this is absolutely encouraged to give a call as well. Okay, let's see what we can figure out there.
All righty. Coming up to another break, which is a good thing for Charlie, because she's got a lot of homework to do right
fast,
at the moment.
Really fast.
Let me get the phone numbers on the air again here for you. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. The Garden Show on the air from Zoomer Radio as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, my friends, I got to tell you that Charlie has been hard at work for that computer trying to find out what black oak is all about. And so far, Dr. Dobbin, you have discovered nothing.
Well, pretty much. I mean, the black oak hasn't really led me anywhere. Poison oak does, keeping in mind that poison oak is a common name. It's not really an oak. But it's similar to poison ivy. These are plants that have a release an oil when we break a leaf, basically.
Right.
Or we rub against them. That oil touches our skin or even our clothes, and then we can touch with our skin our clothes and end up with quite a rash. So the rashes, of course, are very uncomfortable and get worse as days go on. So a week later, you're in more trouble than you were, you know, at the beginning. And so Diane commented she went to the doctor. The doctor put her on antibiotics. So I'm thinking she scratched and ended up with some infection from all that itchiness. But generally speaking, it's a calamine lotion. It's a try and don't scratch. The rash will go down. Most people are allergic. It is an allergic reaction, right? We get hives. We our skin reacts. But I'm not seeing any evidence of anything to do with this oil, this, you know, very allergic causing, you know, allergy causing oil, having any kind of absorption into the system, having any long-term effects. So it could be that I'm barking up the wrong tree there, that there's something else, not poison oak, that caused Diane's issue. So leave it with me. I can't say I'm any further ahead, but if it was poison
oak. But indeed, if anybody else knows anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Give
us a call. Be at all concerned. Whatever happens from poison ivy or poison oak, these things do go away. They don't, they're not absorbed forever.
Okay. All righty. Back to our phone lines then. Siva on line from Toronto. Good morning, Siva.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Charlie, I'd like to extend my sympathy on behalf of your mom.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Your voice sounds good, so I think you're handling it well.
Yeah, it's been a busy week, I'll tell you.
Okay. I planted some tomato seeds, every veggie you can think of outside last week when the weather was good. Mm. What I want to know is, do you think they'll survive when the weather gets warm, or they might be dying off now?
Are they outside?
They're outside. I thought I'm going to take my chance.
Okay, so you're in Toronto. Well, kind of depends how protected you are, but we've had some very cold nights.
Yes.
And I know that I stuck a very tough sort of cactuses outside my home a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, oh, this is great. They're out here in all this cold and they're surviving. But this past week, they got touched by frost.
Okay.
So I'd be surprised if little tender tomato seedlings would have survived. You're probably going to have to replant, my friend.
Okay, then. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you for the call. And from Scarborough, there's Wanda on the line. Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
And good morning.
My condolences. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I have a, it's about 3 years old, Whelan Cullen anniversary rose.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it has, I don't know how many stems I should cut off. It has about 8 stems.
Mm-hmm.
And some are 3/4 of an inch in diameter. Mm-hmm. Some are about half.
So usually, yeah, I mean, what you want, it's a tea rose as far as I recall, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And when you look at those stems, are they all looking green right now? Is there a certain amount of sheen or shininess to the bark on those stems?
Yes, I did cut some down and I didn't know how far down.
Oh, don't be afraid. The roses are so forgiving. I take my roses down to, 2 inches tall. Like
really?
Absolutely. And you know, I've got roses that are 25 years old. I've seen roses. I think I've told the story on the radio. Seen roses in England that they know who planted it 150 years ago.
Oh.
And you look and the main stem is like inches across. We're talking like a 6-inch trunk on a rose.
Wow. Yeah.
But they cut it down. And when you look at it in June or July, it looks like it was planted in March. It's just a little, you know, 2-foot by 2-foot rose blooming.
But the trunk is huge.
So don't ever hesitate. Roses are very forgiving of being cut back. The main thing with a tea rose like you have is when you look down on it, it should look like an open hand. You want to prune to the canes that are growing to the outside.
Like fruit trees.
Exactly. And you can bring them right down very close to the main crown of the plant, down, you know, 2-3 inches, 4 inches tall.
Yeah.
But prune to a bud that is going to grow to the outside and start with canes that are already growing to the outside. Because the more air and sun penetrates into the rose, the healthier it is and the more flowers you'll end up with.
But how many stems should I leave?
Three, four. Yeah,
nine.
You can certainly go down to 3 or 4, 5 at the most, I'd say.
5 stems?
Yep, at the most.
All right. And for those little ones that you get in a pot that people give you.
Yeah, the mini roses?
Yes.
I pop them outside in the summer once we're nice and frost-free. Some will survive the winter, many will not.
Well, I have 2 that have survived the winter, but I don't know how many stems and how far down to cut those.
Okay, so with the mini roses, it's a little different because they're not as tough as your regular tea roses.
Right.
The only pruning I do on mini roses is I remove dead, because you will have dead tips, some dead material. So anything that's black or brown, remove. Any crisscrossing that's going on, any kind of bundling of mass of little branches in the center of that little mini rose, remove. Again, trying to aim for an open kind of a canopy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, no dramatic, no cutting it right back down the way, like leave whatever green height you've got there now.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay, Wanda?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, darling. All righty. We have to take
the
Rose Show, exactly. We have to take our final break of the show, but we'll be coming back to, I promise, talk to Teresa and Mary here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, how well schooled are you now?
I wish I could say I know it all, and I try very hard. Well, Marie called from Port Hope asking about a hydrangea that is oozing some gummy stuff. New to me. I've never seen such a thing. Based on what I'm learning, there's a lot of leaf spot diseases, but this is not a leaf spot. This is something going on right inside the branches of the hydrangea. And it sounds like it's a paniculata, conical flowers. Doing some very fast, what diseases are hydrangeas susceptible to? Lots and lots of leaf spot diseases. The one thing that it could be that Maria's found in her hydrangea is a virus. There are some viral diseases. They are impossible to ever, there's no antiviral medicines even for animals, much less plants. So prevention is what we do when it comes to viral diseases. That's sterilizing the pruning shears before we use them. And one of the things we say in the business is that always, you don't need to sterilize between each cut because you're cutting all on the same plant, but you do need to sterilize between each plant in case there is something that you might carry to another plant.
Transfer to another.
So hopefully Marie will be scrubbing and washing down her pruners before she goes anywhere else. I'm afraid to say, I think you will lose that hydrangea. It's going to succumb eventually to what it's got. If there's any way you could take a picture, Marie, and send it to me, I'd love to see a close up of what's going on there. And you could email it to my email here at the station, and Frank knows my address better than I do.
c.dobbin@mzmedia.com.
Yeah, so c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. I'd love to see that. That's fascinating.
Okay. We better get back to the phone lines here. We've got some folks waiting, like Teresa in Mississauga. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
I have lupins and marigold seeds. From last year.
Nice, yeah.
Am I too late to plant them? Should I have planted them in the fall, or can I plant them now?
Where did you keep them all winter?
In my cool cellar.
Okay, that works. The marigolds don't need to be any kind of special treatment. What I would do is wait. I'd probably wait a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, and then sprinkle them outside. Just barely cover them with a little bit of soil. Make sure it's a sunny, well-drained location.
Okay.
The lupins, you could go out anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah.
So as soon as it's warm enough, I can go up there now.
It doesn't even need to be warm enough. You could go out today with the lupins if you want.
Indoors?
No, yeah, you could start them indoors if you want. It's up to you. But remember, when we start seeds indoors, we need proper seed mix. We need proper lights. We need all kinds of things to really be successful. Outside, I've done this with lupins where I've been at like friends' places and they've got lupins that have gone to seed there in the garden. And you just snip off all the seed heads, stick them in a paper bag, bring them home, and then lay them out in your garden. Just lay them on the surface.
Okay, great.
And the seeds land there and they grow. And then the question is, do they survive? Because lupins are pretty specific in where they want to grow.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Very much. Take care.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks. Thank you for joining us here on a cloudy Saturday morning and cold.
Not
too
to
much.
Mention cold.
Yeah, wow. there's that little bell, and that's for Mary in Scarborough.
Welcome.
First time caller. Good morning, Mary.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. I miss you, Charlie.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, love. Thank you. By the way, I bought some dahlias about 3 weeks ago, the bulbs, and I have them in my refrigerator. But I am going away in a few days.
Okay.
I looked at the bulbs, and they're not doing much, just little sprouts.
Right.
Should I leave them there? Because I'm coming back like the end of the month. The end of May?
Okay. Wait, you're going away for a whole month?
Roughly, yes.
Oh, that's a tricky one. They do want to grow, and growing alone without you for a month would be impossible. They would need some watering along the way. So, I mean, if you left them in the fridge, that is a good idea because that slows them down. However, that will impact when they flower. You're going to find that that's going to delay flowering. Mm-hmm. If you leave them in the fridge till you get back, and then the day you get back, you get them either in the ground or into pots, and out into the sun and they get them growing, mm-hmm. they'll be green plants and they will flower eventually, but it might be July before they flower, depending on what kind they are. If you wanted to pot them up now, and then leave them with a friend who can leave them on a sunny windowsill and water them every now and then, you'll get blooms earlier. So just...
Okay, love. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Very good. Yeah.
Yes, I think I would pot them now.
Yeah, I would too. Bring them out of the fridge, get some nice potting, nice fresh potting soil, pots with drainage, obviously. Pot them up. There should be some instructions on the on the package, and then
lean on a friend to come over and do a little.
Well,
bit of
or even just take them to the friend's house and make sure the friend does not kill them with too much love.
Who would do that for me?
Yeah, well,
that's great.
Too much water.
You know, I'm 81 years old.
Wow, good for you.
Good
well, dahlias are one of my favorites, so good for you.
Thank you, Mary.
I love them too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let us know how that works out.
Okay, Charlie. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much for calling.
Mary. Thank you. We've got time, I do believe, to squeeze one more call in, and it's from London, Ontario. There's Joe on the line. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hi, Frank. They've got a problem with buttercups. Sorry, I should say Charlie, too.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, Charlie, too. Buttercups.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do with them? I've done everything, dug them up, spray them, everything, but still they come back.
You really don't like your buttercups, huh?
I love buttercups.
There's too many of them. They seem to be overtaking the grass.
Yeah, they'll do that. It's like
every time.
Yeah, violets will do that too. It's challenging. I know.
What the latest thing I've done now is put a tarp over a whole section and trying to get rid of them that way. Anything else that I could?
Well, the tarp will work. You just got to make sure you leave that tarp there long enough. Did you put the tarp on in the fall or just recently?
No, I just put it on about a week ago.
Okay, so you're going to have to leave that tarp there and make sure the edges are sealed, whether with 2x4s or soil or whatever. No light under there.
Mm-hmm.
The worms will get out, but the buttercups can't move.
Okay.
So the dark will starve them. And that's actually, like, really, it's either digging and digging deep because that's the issue. You got to get all those roots.
Exactly.
They are very, very snazzy the way they're able to do things underground. So yeah, it's a big dig, or as you've done it, suffocate or solarize, we call that.
There's nothing else that you can suggest?
Well,
no sense of spraying for some reason. If I spray one area, they come up the next.
Yeah, and remember, when we're going to use a spray to try and kill invasive plants, the earlier in the season we do it, the better our chances, because the young leaves are more susceptible, whether it's you using Roundup or you're using, you know, a vinegar spray. Early in the season, you'll be most successful, but both those things will kill anything it sprays. So it's a tricky one.
Joe, I'm sorry. We have to kind of leave it there.
Yeah,
and good
where
luck
did
with
our
that.
Hour go?
But it's gone. And you are working so hard.
Well, I know. I feel like I've still got to go back and figure out a few more things for people. Oh, right, the hibiscus.
Right. Okay. Well, that'll have to be answered next week.
I think so.
When you return and I return for the Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Sebastian. Thank you for all these great challenging calls. Like, hello.
Wow.
The little gears in my head are like, need to be cooled off. And Elliot's sitting outside running a garage sale in all this cold. So I guess I shouldn't complain. Thanks, everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.